Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. How about local legend Daniel Ewing, Willow Ridge High, Duke. He played there under Coach K. And went on to the Clippers and then a European and foreign career for up until just a couple of years ago. Joining us now to talk about this huge, huge game. And I don't remember a bigger college basketball game in some time. Daniel Ewing here on ESPN 97.5. Daniel, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you guys for having me.
Man, we appreciate it. As a Duke guy, as we're on the eve of this basketball game, first of all, I had no idea that North Carolina Duke had never met in the NCAA tournament. So that's number one. How big is that? But to be in the Final Four with Coach K retiring after either Saturday or Monday, Daniel, you've been part of this North Carolina Duke rivalry. Has it been any bigger than this?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, out of all the classic North Carolina Duke games you've witnessed or watched on TV throughout the years, over the tradition, over the history, this is the biggest game by far between these two schools.
Now, you were just there for Coach K's last game at Duke, and you saw North Carolina dismantle him. Was that a little disheartening?
It was. It was, because it was, you know, we were all hoping for, you know, a better outcome and big day celebrating Coach in his last home game. But I think that's what's going to make this game tomorrow, you know, the opportunity for it to be, you know, such a epic opportunity for both teams.
Oh,
the stage is set, you know, for it to be for something great to happen tomorrow.
What's it like playing in that game, playing North Carolina?
And it's one of the highest moments of, you know, your college career, whether you're at either school, you know, both. I think as a Duke player, you go to Duke to play in that game, and vice versa. As a Carolina player, you go to Carolina to play in that game. So, for the most part, it you know, when both teams meet, regardless of how good they are, if they're ranked or not ranked, for the most part, you know, that game lives up to the hype, and is a great game most of the time.
What I like about it is the intensity. I mean, over the years, there is an intensity that matches to me, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, South Carolina and Clemson. Like, there's a certain level of intensity, Auburn, Alabama. It's one of the few basketball rivalries, to me, that matches the same level of intensity that we see with a lot of the football rivalries. You're from the state of Texas, so you know all about, you know, the football intensity, even though you're at a basketball school in Duke. But do you sense that at all? Do you feel like it has that? Do you think that's accurate?
Absolutely. Like I said, I think regardless of sport, I think it's the, you know, and of course I'm biased towards it, but I think it's the best rivalry in all of sports. You know, you stretch it throughout the years and history and tradition. If it's not the best, it's definitely up there with, you know, top three, in my opinion.
Daniel Ewing with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. Did you always look down on North Carolina? I mean, you were at Duke, right? It's a better school. You had, you know, Coach K. You had all that stuff. Of course, North Carolina had prettier women. But did you always
wow?
Did you look down at North Carolina. How did you build up that hatred for him?
Actually, I it wasn't a hatred for me. Like just the way things developed for me growing up. I never was really a Carolina fan, and it had nothing to do with me like really liking Duke. But I just never really gravitated towards any of the Carolina teams growing up. And I can't admit, though, the one of the most exciting teams, and I do remember this team, that I watched Carolina in my years growing up was the team with Ed Cota. I think it was Ed Cota, Shamon Williams, Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson. Like, that team that team was exciting to watch. But outside of that, you know, I can't think of any other team that I really paid attention to growing up as a college basketball fan in Carolina.
What made you go to Duke over everybody else?
Why not? Like you said, one of the best academic schools, one of the best basketball programs, history, tradition. You got Coach K there leading the charge. Like I said, for me, I fell in love with the school early on in the early 90s, and, after the early championship years, 91 and 92. I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of a winning tradition. I had that in high school. I played with good players in high school, so I wanted that to continue at the college level.
So, John, you might as well ask this, John, because I was looking, and it's like, well, let's see. Daniel Ewing is 39 now. Reggie Love is 40. Go ahead and ask your Reggie Love question.
So, do you want this? Does anybody want to beat North Carolina more than Reggie Love with what happened to him at that party?
Wow.
Can you believe that? Like I said,
anytime we lace them up, whether we playing Carolina or not, we playing to win. So it just so happened Carolina is the team on the opposite side of this game tomorrow night. But we're playing to be in another national championship. Now, I don't know how Carolina is approaching it, but we're playing to win the game and play for national championship. Now they might just be playing to beat Duke, which. It's the difference between us and them.
Yeah, well, Baycott better not come over to a fraternity party at Duke. That's all I'm saying.
No.
And don't fall asleep or pass out.
Don't fall asleep
either.
At a party.
Don't do that.
Don't. No.
That's a lesson learned early on. I remember that. Ooh.
Ooh.
Don't do that.
Reggie, don't fall asleep.
Hey, I am, this has been a, how did you process the last game being the loss at home to Carolina? Because that was, it is amazing that Duke has bounced back the way that they have in the postseason. And, it looks like they haven't seen any ill effects, although North Carolina clearly used that as one of their springboards. But how tough was that to see that final home game, end up that way?
It was disappointing. Like I said, it was disappointing.
Were you there, by the way?
Yeah. I was there. I was present. It was disappointing. Like it was a great turnout of a lot of former players getting back to, to try to make that day special. For coach and obviously the Cramer Crazies was did their job and was present and created a great atmosphere and the rest of the fans as well. Like I said, I think like Carolina used that to propel them to where they're at now in the postseason, and I think that was a great learning lesson for our young guys as well, because they had never experienced anything like that, any event like that. None of those guys have been in any of those type of situations, so. I think we're much better prepared for that now, and I think it's also helped them lock in and focus to why they've been able to play the way they've been playing to get to the Final Four.
Well, and what's funny is earlier in the year at North Carolina, Duke won by 20.
Right.
So it's not like – but the taste that everybody has in their mouth is what that last game and Coach K's last game. I just thought that there would be too much pressure. Daniel, did you feel the pressure that was on this team – having to go through this with Coach K for the last time with Coach K and wanting to win so bad for him. All of you guys were there at that. Do you think how much I'm surprised that they've been able to handle it the way that they have so far in the tournament. Is this going to be too much like it was too much that last game at Cameron Indoor?
I think the last game, the last home game, I think it was maybe a little too much for him. Like I said, those guys being mostly freshmen, young guys, they don't have anyone on the team who's been through situations like this, pressure situations where, anything of that magnitude at the time. So now that we got that out the way, I think now they're better for this situation coming up tomorrow night. because, you know, they have some experience under their belt about, you know, the higher expectations, the extra media coverage, you know, the extra hoopla and all that. So, yeah, I think that game, it might have been a little bit too much with, you know, with everything going on, media attention, probably extra media attention, you know, all the people asking the questions, you know, about, you know, making sure they win the game for Coach K at his last home game. So I think it might have been a lot of too much. And then, like you said, we did smack them up the first time we played them. So those guys being young, I think they might have went into that game thinking that, all right, yeah, like, we already took care of these guys even the first time. It's, you know, it's going to be pretty similar the way this goes the second time. I think they kind of took them for granted as well.
Who's going to have a bigger game? Which big man is going to have a bigger game, Baycott or Williams? Is Williams going to be able to stop Baycott?
It's going to be key. That's going to be a key factor of the game. If we can control Baycott, we can't allow him to have a monster game at all. But I think, like I said, I think with the way all the guys have been playing, we haven't relied on, like in the previous, early in the year, we was kind of just relying on Paolo to kind of be the savior. I think everybody has stepped up in the postseason and has made major contributions each and every game up until this point. So if we keep that up, we got a great shot of winning this game.
Yep.
That's formerly of the Ridge.
That's right.
Proud member of the Ridge. That's Willow Ridge's own.
Great teams.
Daniel Ewing, some unbelievable teams. And former Duke guard Daniel Ewing is our guest right now. Mm. Before we let you go, I'm kind of curious about the way the college basketball is played. You know, it's been interesting watching college football develop into a completely different type of sport than what we saw in pro football. And then pro has slowly picked up some of the same elements of college football. And yet college basketball still has, you know, we still see post play. We still see some guys post up, back cuts. I don't know. The college game still has some old school elements to it, as opposed to the pro game, which has turned into just really a ton of three-point shooting. Does that, as a former player, does that surprise you that college has not gone in more of the way of the pro game in terms of just volume threes with less post play?
I wouldn't say. No, it hasn't. Actually, I think maybe. No, it hasn't. You know, and that's what made college basketball so attractive over the years. That there was a noticeable difference between college and NBA games. You know, you have the two halves instead of the four quarters. You know, you have the lonely shot clock. So yeah, I mean, I like the fact that, some teams, the more elite teams, you know, they have adapted to some of the pro style play, which is obvious, you know, with guys being better, more skilled nowadays. But I think it's good that college basketball still has their own unique identity of play, you know, of running plays and having to execute offensive sets, you know, and yes, and feeding the post, you know, here and there, especially if you have a post player who can play. Yeah, let them, you know, get. Yeah. I think the NBA should get back to, you know, some of that, some more of that. Yeah, it's cool to see all the threes flying, you know, guys shooting threes, but I think the NBA, for the most part, most of those teams need to. You know, every team can't play like that in the NBA. It's only a handful of teams that really have the personnel to just run and gun and, you know, have enough guys that really can shoot the ball well enough to put up 43s a game.
RJ's got our producer has a question for you. RJ?
Yeah, Mr. Ewing, I wanted to know whether or not 2006, that series that you guys had against Phoenix, I mean, you guys were on a roll after beating Denver in the first round, and I think the presumption was that you guys could beat Phoenix in that series. Unfortunately, you guys lost. And talking to guys like Clipper Darrell and even Vinny Del Negro, they say that still eats away at them. So I wanted to know from you, does that series still eat away at you guys? Did you guys think that you could make it deeper into the playoffs?
Most definitely. Yes, definitely. That was we should have won that series. Phoenix was a great team. Steve Nash, you know, and those guys, Stoudemire, Steve Nash coming off, you know, again MVP. A great team, but I think we playoffs is about matchups. I think we matched them well. And we had them on the ropes. You know, we win that game. What is it, game five, I believe? Going back to LA up 3-2. Like, who knows what happened? So, yeah, that's one that got away from us, you know, especially considering how they ended up winning that game. It was a tough loss.
Dredging back some old bad memories. Nice
wow.
job, RJ.
But you started with Reggie Love.
No, I didn't start anything with Reggie Love. I just wanted to know, you know, if you should fall asleep at a North Carolina frat party. I don't think so. That's all I'm saying.
I wasn't trying to.
But
you were
just trying to bring up bad Clipper memories.
I remember the series, and I thought after they beat Denver in the first round, I'm like, I think this team may make
the Western
Conference
Finals.
Oh, hey,
Daniel, why didn't you win? Okay, that's great. Making Daniel Viewing feel terrible. Daniel, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us once again. Enjoy. Are you going to New Orleans?
No, I'm not going to be able to make it, man, but I'll be tuned in for sure.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you hanging with us. Thanks, Daniel Ewing. Once again, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, Lance, well, you, my friend, got to talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patio. They came over yesterday. RJ and – not that RJ, different RJ. RJ and Stephen Shell, the owner. And, you know, he's been spending time between Dallas and Houston. His Dallas spot is blowing up. It's huge. And one of the things he wants to make sure he does is he said, look, with business going crazy, we want to make sure that we're fully staffed so that our level of service and our level of quality never dips below our highest standards. And that's going to be the case. I'm having a kitchen put out there, an outdoor kitchen into the patio. And I wish I would have done it right up front because I've had my patio now for 5.5 years. I wish I would have done it at first because the thing is they can finance you. And you can get exactly what you're looking for. You want to get 3 TVs out there. You want to get a bigger sound system. You want to have a, you know, extend through your home. Also, you want to do a room extension included into your outdoor living extension. There's so many things that they can do. They build standalone pool houses. But the outdoor living space with the outdoor kitchen is something that truly is going to add a level of enjoyment. My kids were out watching shows yesterday, eating out on the patio while I was inside getting some work done. It's just a great place to entertain, a great place to enjoy yourself, especially when the weather's as good as it has been lately. It's a place that you really are going to enjoy having your own special place, no matter how you want to use it. So turn that house into a home, and rest assured, you're going to get every single dollar you put into it, you're going to get it back out when you sell the home, because it's such a big differentiator when it comes to selling your home. TexasCustomPatios.com, TexasCustomPatios.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5.
We're not that good.
Para mi familia, siempre estoy en mi mejor momento. Por eso también quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solamente huevos de Eggland Best. Siempre tienen un sabor tan fresco y delicioso, con 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y 25% menos grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. Entonces, ¿por qué darle menos a tu familia cuando pueden tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.